You know, for centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ, religion was always a numero uno topic of discussion on the lips of people, both ancient and modern, in every corner of the world, regardless if it's Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, whatever it is. It's discussed throughout the world. Well, if paper or pen or even computer tablets were given out at this moment to you all, could you express your faith and doctrine clearly? It may be a bigger challenge to even discuss our faith and doctrine verbally, let alone write it down. For example, why do certain churches practice communion weekly? Some practice it monthly and some quarterly. I've done it in all of them, regardless of the time frame. Well, what is baptism? Or why don't Presbyterians have bishops instead of executive presbyters? You know what my opinion is? Presbyterians are cheapskates and they don't want to pay the money out to a bishop. But we won't go into that today. You know, truth never is hurt by examination. And sometimes self-examination can really bother people. It's always important to remember that people who aren't Christians or unchurched would not know the difference between a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church, or as if it mattered to them. All of us have sacred cows of religious tradition because we were taught and raised to believe in them. I had a woman in a church, it's been about 20 years ago, I guess it was. I had a good secretary, and it so happened the church office had run out of white paper, and we had to use beige that Sunday. I remember this very well. Well, the next day, I'm not going to call her name, you wouldn't know her, but I'm still not, in case somebody's listening elsewhere, she came storming through those doors she was like a bull in a china shop. She was just fit to be tied. What was it? She said only white paper should be used for bulletins because the church of my childhood used that color, and in God's house should not have anything but white church bulletins. We couldn't even explain to her that we'd run out of white paper. She was that adamant on that. Is God's last word white church bulletins? I don't think so. But to her, that was a sacred cow. And I realized it was, and I didn't want to say anything that would humiliate her, but she was doing a good share of humiliating to the rest of us, you know? She's dead now and gone to her reward, but anyway. But, you know, it goes to show you sometime with the least things you can offend people. I remember in seminary I was told, interestingly, he says, you don't move the baptismal font unless you're 10 years into a church. You know, a lot of times things are important to people and you don't even realize it. And that's what makes, after a while, you, as a minister, experience teaches you to just don't be as enthusiastic as you want to be, because you can hurt people. And it's not because those people are deliberately trying to set out to get you. It's that it may mean something to them. So there's a two-way street there of sensitivity and practicality in that regard. Well, now here, hand washing was a big thing to the ancient Jews, especially the religious leaders, but it wasn't done for hygienic purposes. Now, if we go out to a restaurant after church today, more than likely we're going to go to the restroom in the restroom and wash our hands. We do it because we don't want germs to contaminate our food or the cutlery we dine with. So, you know, it's a good thing. But the ritual in this case in ancient Palestine was created because to eat without a ceremonial cleansing was a sin in the view of the religious leaders, and it was a sin against God. spiritual faith had been replaced by rules and regulations. Washing hands had begun for the Pharisees in all sincerity, but by Christ's time, legalism had infiltrated Judaism with a vengeance. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Or is it? Think about that. I like that song, by the way. But you think about that, the old-time religion. Some of it was good, some of it wasn't so good. And a lot of times we need to do an evaluation again, an inventory of our faith to see, am I adhering to something that may or may not be scriptural or led by the Holy Spirit? You have to remember that in those days of Christ, the system of ritual and liturgical worship practices had grown so rigid that it had taken control of them. Everything hinged on the dilemma that maybe someone could be breaking a religious law. And if one part of the faith tradition was broken, then maybe the whole system would shrivel up and collapse. That was the state of religion in Palestine in the first century AD. What's the state of our religious faith in the 21st century? There's so many things out there. You can read religious periodicals, or you can read emails from different organizations, and you can see there's a crisis in just about every faith denomination out there. And what's one person or denomination's crisis may not be another denomination's crisis. And I think that's an interesting thing, take on things. So you look at things, you wonder, what's going on around us? But, you know, a lot of times, fear is the motivation behind it all. Fear can cause us to say or do things. It's scary when you don't know what's going on. Do you remember the episode in the Andy Griffith Show called The Haunted House? It's usually played a lot around Halloween on television, but the story goes there was this house in Mayberry, and this man had died 20 years before, and he said he didn't want anybody bothering this house or something bad would happen to them, and he was going to stay around, his spirit was, to make sure it didn't happen. Well, Opie was playing baseball with a friend and batted the ball through the window of that haunted, so-called haunted house. Well, the two boys decided, well, we better go get our baseball, but they were kind of skittish to get near the house, but they walked up on the front porch, and just about the time they got to the front door, they heard, ooh, ooh. They took off running, and they went running into Sheriff Andy's office, Opie being Andy's son, and told him what happened, and said that our baseball's in that house, and Andy told him to go home, said he'd make sure they'd get it. Well, along came the deputy, Barney Fife, Mr. Know-It-All. He said, you should have taught them a lesson, had them go back to that house to get that baseball. And Andy said, I don't want those boys walking around that house because there could be loose flooring and different things like that. They could get hurt. He said, why don't you go get it? And Barney yelled out, you mean you want me to go to that haunted house? And Andy said, yes. And Barney started coming up with excuses. And Otis, the town drunk, was in jail. And he said, oh, yes, I've heard a lot of things happening in that house. Well, all of a sudden, Gomer, the mechanic, came by, Gomer Pyle. And Barney talked him into going. And they went over there. And they got in the house. And they looked at the portrait of that man that owned it. And all of a sudden they heard, ooh. Well, before they went, Barney was trying to convince Andy that the boys should go in there because there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, that's taken from one of old President Roosevelt's speeches. Well, anyway, here came Barney back running into the office, and he went to the water fountain and started gulping water down like it was whiskey, and he says, I needed that drink. And Andy said, well, did you get the baseball? He said, no. And Andy said, well, there's things beyond our minds that we cannot explain. And Andy said, well, wasn't you the one said there's nothing to fear but fear itself? And Barney says, that's what I got, was fear itself. Actually, what turned out, there were moonshiners in that house, and they were taking advantage of that old thing going on in the house about being haunted and everything. But the thing is, fear can instigate a lot of things. It can cause people to say or do things that they normally would never do. And so in that regard, the Pharisees were concerned that they could lose control if they let go of anything. And minor concerns can turn into obsession. And the same fear blinds us. People get upset if society changes, relationships fragment, or the baptismal font is moved 2 inches. It comes down that fear distorts reality and truth so that the important concerns of life are missed. It tricked the Pharisees into thinking that if they exercised the proper external acts, then they would be made inwardly clean. If they washed their hands before every meal, then nothing was contaminated, and nothing contaminated or toxic would enter their bodies that would poison their souls. The same fear often drives us into an obsession with what occurs in our lives. People attempt to remove threats to keep themselves holier than thou, or at least in appearances. It's quite amusing at how society seeks to preserve the status quo. Superstition in religion can become as much a part of our religion as faith. Belief in the supernatural, like the Holy Spirit, is very acceptable, but superstition can create barriers to a vibrant faith, which draws us closer to God. For example, my family, my maternal side, my mother's side of the family, they were so superstitious. My mother had a saying for everything. So on Sunday, you'll be removing the stitches on Monday, or don't trim your fingernails on Sunday. And I said to her, where do you come up with those things? They're silly. Oh, they're true. Blah, blah, blah. But, however, mom's side of the family did not go in for supernatural. Now, I'm not talking about supernatural in the sense of the Holy Spirit. Now, they were all religious to a degree, but my dad's side of the family were believers in the supernatural. And it was so funny because they had no problems having Ouija board parties and going to fortune tellers. And I thought, something like that. I think I still may have one of them's old Ouija board somewhere at the house over there. I don't know where it would be, but it's probably in the house somewhere. But they would, and I told them, I said, you better be careful. And sure enough, one night they were having a Ouija party, and my aunt said something just blew through her hair while they were sitting there at the table. And I said, I told you it's going to get you. But I will say this, that my dad's side of the family, they were fun people to be around. My grandmother, she would play with us. It was so much fun. My sister and I were talking about this the other day. They had so much enjoyment out of life. My mother's side of the family, if they had a sense of humor, I never found it. They were very serious about things. And, I mean, I love my grandmother Stanley to death, but she was the type you respected, but you didn't really get close to her. She was not that. But my other grandmother, oh my goodness, she was just always just there, you know. You knew you had somebody with it, and we just smile. And every time I think of her, I smile. Now, I will say my other grandmother, I loved her to death, too. She was sweet. But she was, I think, older and more Victorian in her approach to life. So I like to compare the two and see. I don't know if I'm a combo of both. They say your genetics will tell it all, but I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, I think about that, and I said, supernatural versus superstitious. Which side of the tug of war do I want to be on, match there? But, fear can be a paralyzing, powerful force, but there is a way out. Jesus Christ is the pathway of freedom because he is the opposite of fear. It was such freedom which Christ taught that troubled the Pharisees. They found him to be boldly disregarding the tradition of the elders. Christ dined with outcast and unclean people. Christ plucked grain on the Sabbath and ate without washing his hands. However, it was also that freedom which drew people to him. Christ was at ease and not intimidated by society nor his enemies, but always spoke the truth in love. He was comfortable in the company he kept. It was this freedom that enabled Christ to accept those who were different, such as people on the fringes of society. And I'm saying that, he could. He could get along with just about everybody except those religious leaders. This freedom from fear allows people to look at themselves honestly and to realize that no one is perfect. We must remember that there is the presence of the Holy Spirit available, which permits us to receive the mercy of Jesus Christ. And it is that freedom which enables peoples to discover the merciful grace of God. When lives are made free in Christ, then it's found that all life is precious. Life and faith may be made righteous, not by saying the right prayers or washing our hands in a legalistic manner, but with the assurance of the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Mother Teresa scandalized the people of Calcutta and even the church with her love for the sick, homeless, and outcast of India. She knew that God wanted her to touch those people with love. And it's ironic and almost funny that you can promote a judgmental, vengeful, and angry God. However, nobody will raise an eyebrow. But if you start preaching a God that's too loving, too forgiving, too merciful, or too kind, guess what? You're going to get into trouble and make some enemies. There will be opposition, but with God's help, he will never let us down. In our world, lives can be devastated, but God can restore anyone. I have found people who have a shaky faith foundation are the ones more like the Pharisees because they're unsure about their next step. Their relationship to God is not that close, and that causes them to criticize having beige colored bulletins on Sunday. It makes them feel like that they need to pull their, elbow their way through life. And that's not the way it is. In our world, lives can be devastated, but God can restore anyone, and that is hope. Through his grace, and if we are open to be used by him, then bridges may be built in restoring a worthwhile faith so that we may make our world a better place than it was yesterday. Such a faith will keep us from moving away from God, because God never moves, and we can serve the Lord with gladness. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, as we have come before you, help us, O Lord, remove any vestiges of toxic religion in our lives. Help us have a faith that is pure and holy, one that is completely obedient to you and to nothing else. When we are tempted to place something ahead of you, let us seek your forgiveness in all things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.